Talk Back with Gary Null, Sundays at 8 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, and I'd like to welcome you to this program. I call this the Empowerment Hour, because I can promise you, no matter what your background in life, you will be given insights and information that, if you choose, can provide you with a different way of looking at the world we live in, our health, and longevity.
I thought at the moment, what would happen? What would be the likely outcome of taking on the AMA? And I thought, well, I already took the AMA on when I published, along with Robert Houston, the first nationally published article in the United States on the politics of cancer, and showed how everything about cancer was a fraud, and how it was all about getting money to their own institutions from the cancer the President's Cancer Advisory Committee, meaning the people who advised the President on cancer policy got the majority of the money that the federal government gave going to their institutions or their pharmaceutical companies. The head of the AMA wrote a scathing attack against me. I responded to each of his comments, and he could not find a single factual error. He was just angry that I was criticizing the AMA. Well, too bad. Stuff it. The AMA is a criminal organization and should be abolished. It serves no useful public, no useful purpose, nor does its journal that has been the rag of record for doctors. It's nothing more than a high price union for doctors. Let us not forget, this is the same journal, the American Medical Association, that caused the death of hundreds of thousands, possibly millions of Americans by promoting smoking, specifically smoking for women. 47,000 doctors recommend Lucky Strike to soothe your throat. So, this is not an organization I have any respect for, or anyone associated with it, or anything they published. They are the handmaiden completely controlled by the pharmaceutical industry, and they have been on several occasions found guilty in court of violating the Sherman Antitrust Act. But still, it's a big organization with a lot of political connections to take on. After all, they were responsible for destroying two major cancer treatments that work, Hoxie's treatment that worked, and Curbiocin that worked. But I said, let's go after him. And along with Joe Lisa and others, the stories were written. I wrote two feature stories. They're up on my website. Interesting. The publisher received over 2 million copies, more than any article in the magazine's history, for reprints. In fact, I was told that it was costing about 30 cents a copy to reprint them, and that they realized how much money that cost. I said, well, you said you're going to do it, so honor it. And he did. And a group of chiropractors sued the AMA. One of the brothers of one of the chiropractors was a leading attorney, and he led the case. Under discovery, they collected 1 million documents, and that's where the documents revealed all of the corruption that was going on inside against all alternative therapy, and all their friends in the media, who they could count upon to always do the right thing for the Journal of the American Medical Association, and where they would never give any credible ink to or exposure to any alternative therapy. At the end of the day, 12 other organizations were sued, the top 12 medical organizations in America, including the American College of Surgery, Radiology. All but one stayed in the lawsuit. One settled. All the rest were found guilty. So they appealed. And up through the state system and federal system until it got to the Supreme Court, they lost. It was a triumphant day for freedom of choice. We won. In what should have been a major story that should have gotten some traction. It's like a tree falling in a forest when no one witnesses it. You wouldn't have known it happened. But it did, because they could no longer say that chiropractic was an unscientific cult. They could no longer exclude chiropractors from insurance. They could no longer exclude chiropractors from using public hospitals. They could no longer refuse to accept a referral from a chiropractor or make a referral. So it had substantial power. But over the years, like all things, when you don't pay attention to them, they drift down. And it was interesting because I've been waiting for a major lawsuit to come out, because I have a letter. And the letter is from the AMA and the Quackbuster, where the Quackbuster was requesting all the files from the Secret Department of Investigations. I have that communication. No one knows I have that communication. I'm the only person in the United States that has it. I'm waiting to get the Quackbusters in trial so that I can then prove under oath and get them to say, did you ever solicit the AMA for its files, the very files that they were found guilty of restraint of trade and violation of the Sherman Antitrust Act? And the person's got their signature there, so, but we haven't got them into that environment yet. We will in time. They've all been discredited in any case. But interestingly enough, the Quackbusters emerged as the AMA lost and could no longer publicly attack chiropractor. That didn't stop other people from taking it on, a certain select group. Now we jump forward till today. Here's the latest. Researcher from Harvard and the employer group find chiropractic, quote, highly cost-effective versus medical treatment, meaning they're better than your doctor. Quote from John Weeks. The first sentence of this report states a blunt fact of life in the United States. Quote, low back pain and neck pain are extremely common conditions that consume large amounts of healthcare resources. Unquote. Checking in with the state of one's own back and neck places, many of us, with the 26% who have low back pain and 14% who have neck pain in a given three-month period. Half of us with chronic back pain seek chiropractic care. $85 billion a year is spent on low back pain alone. So, is chiropractic effective, and more specifically, cost-effective compared with traditional care? Two independent researchers, an MD, PhD, Nithis Khondri and Arnold Milstein, MD, completed a 15-page report that resolves the medico-political question that has rattled around the U.S. healthcare system for decades. And that is, and that's all from that Wilk versus AMA antitrust suit, which works best? And here they found that chiropractic works better, much more effective, substantially more effective, and a whole lot less expensive. And that could save us tens of billions of dollars. So it's right there. Did that mean that the U.S. Public Health Service or any of the major medical organizations or your physician found out about it? Probably not. But this is one way that we could save a lot of money, but more importantly, for the people in this audience listening, your chiropractor is more effective and more at helping the efficacy and the cost less than a medical doctor, and the science supports it. Good for you, chiropractor. Let's go over now and say hello to David from Arizona. Hi, David. Where are you at in Arizona? David, you're on the line. Hi, David. Speak up or we're going to have to go to another call. Okay, we'll take another call. Let's say hello to Rachel from New Jersey. Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
How can we help you today?
Oh, okay. Well, I was reading in your Encyclopedia of Natural Healing that there is a supplement called Energetics that can help people that have hypothyroid problems. And I was wondering if you could tell me the exact name of this supplement, because when you Google Energetics, there are too many things that come up.
What you can do is you can go to the Townsend letter and then look on their reference page, because they will have all of the medical nutritional supplements that you can't find anywhere else. For example, if you're looking for Empirical Labs, you're not going to find that anywhere. And lysosomal vitamin C, which is what you would use if you couldn't use an injectable vitamin C, for a couple of reasons. A, because it dramatically increases the absorption of submicroscopic vehicles. These tiny little balloons can deliver their payload directly into the bloodstream. And also, it delivers a delicate and poorly absorbed molecules into the bloodstream, bypassing regular digestion and protecting both the molecule and your digestive tract. So quite simply, there are two levels of supplements, those that you can buy in your health food store and those you can buy through a medical supplier. But the regular person could not buy it through your medical supplier. You'd have to get it through a physician, so you'd want your physician to know that they exist. That is the same as what you're talking about, and that's where you would get it. Okay.
Explain to me where to find this.
I just told you, ma'am, please write it down. The Townsend letter for doctors and patients. Okay. I'm telling you the answer. Just follow through. Let's take another call. Let's say hello to Tom. Hi, Tom. Tom, you're on the line. Please speak up. Tom's not there. Let's say hello to...
Hello, Gary.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, anyone calling, you've got to listen over the telephone.
Well, not, I realize that something happened. I don't know what.
Not over the computer. Go ahead, Tom. How can we help you?
Gary, I wanted to ask, I heard you say a couple of months ago that you're not interested in a romantic relationship, and I was wondering, does that mean you abstained from sex, and is that healthy? As a single person, I'm wondering... Is that a healthy situation?
Tom, people on death row have more sex than me.
Yeah.
Is it healthy? Good sex is always healthy.
Yeah.
Happy sex is the healthiest sex. Now, anyone with any insight into healthy dynamics is going to have safe sex.
Yeah.
But it's not the safe sex I care about. That's a given. It's like saying, am I going to eat healthy? The answer is obvious. Yes. But am I going to sit down and eat a bowl of brown rice and some tasteless beans? No. Am I going to make that as exciting as I can? Yes. Why is it that I can have exciting sex and someone else who could have the same sex chooses not to? They'll do the same thing in the same way, just like they shower themselves. I'll bet anything that a person will shower their body in the same way every day. If they start by, you know, shampooing their hair or washing their face or rubbing their chest or armpits, they'll do the same thing over and over again. Why? Because people get into these habits.
No, I understand. Excuse me, I understand. But what I'm asking, is it healthy not to have sex? What you're saying is you're not having sex, and I'm asking...
Tom, do you
sex,
have the patience to... are you in one of those premature intellectual ejaculate modes? Are you willing to listen to my answer?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever listened to this program before?
Yes, for years.
Okay, then you know I take my time to get an answer out.
Okay, all right.
All right?
Okay.
Do you live in New Jersey?
No.
Oh, okay. So anyhow, So the idea is that we have to break a habit. And we have to look at the whole idea of why am I having sex? Well, if you're having sex because of pleasure, and if you're working, shouldn't you also balance your life with pleasure? I'm going to ask you questions. I just want yes or no answers, all right?
Yep.
Should you have as much play in your life as you have work?
Probably no.
Okay. No. So you should have more work than pleasure.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Tom, that answers a lot about you, buddy. Because I believe just the opposite. I believe that we should have as much pleasure as we do work. Why? Because when we have pleasure reading a book, pleasure being with a pet, pleasure, let's say, just taking our time to have dinner or going for a walk, pleasure going to a movie, pleasure writing, writing letters to friends that we care about or family members to remind them how much they mean to us. Whatever gives us pleasure, and I'm talking about pleasure in the broadest possible way, then that pleasure rebalances our stress levels. Not only are we more rebalanced with stress, but the cortisol level is not pounding through our system, which will raise our blood sugar level, which will cause a whole flight or fight response, which then changes the biochemistry of the brain, making the dominant hormone, like, let's say, if we are not wanting excessive amounts of dopamine and we get excessive amounts of dopamine, or we get an imbalance in serotonin, you're going to have agitation, even when you're alone. And there's nothing to be agitated about, or when you're with someone, you'll feel the agitation, and therefore you express it. It's like a little kid that's sleepy and hungry, and now they get irritable. Every parent has seen the kid that should take a nap, and they're a little grumpy, and fine, it's nap time. If you created balance in your life, with balance comes focus. All right? For example, today when I woke up, I knew I had a lot to do, and if I wasn't focused, I wouldn't get it done. But I wanted to get it done without rushing anything, with ease. So I did my workout early. Then I was able to get my breakfast, clean my apartment, do my laundry, do my ironing. I got a whole bunch of clothes ready to give away tomorrow to people, because once a year I take the clothes that I wear in my television specials and my lectures, and I give those to people because I get new ones, because when you're on television or you do a special, that special might be seen 20, 50, 100 times, and I don't want to be wearing the same clothes. Also, it gives me the joy of seeing that someone else could enjoy these clothes, some of which I've only worn once. And so I make sure they're all cleaned and pressed. And then I do counseling, so that most terminally ill I counsel over the phone or in person, and then do the writing that's important for a series of commentaries this week, as I'm trying to put commentaries each day on the air, and then take a break, playtime, and go for a walk over by the museum, and just watch the people playing with their dogs and having fun. That's playtime. Coming back, excuse me, going by the health food store, getting a nice fresh juice, and saying hello to lots of people, coming back, counseling more people, work and play, taking time to read Homer, play, writing letters to friends, play, enjoying some classical music, play, writing for the script of some voiceovers tomorrow for a documentary, work. So by balancing work and play, all the things I wanted to get done that are meaningful for me in a day get done. Hence, there's no to-do list. The to-do list is balancing my life. Because when you live a life in balance, you're not going to be eating junk food. You're not going to be watching junk television, listening to junk radio, on a junk Facebook, with your 10,000 non-friend friends who are as equally depressed and anxious and hollow as yourself. You're not going to be engaging in negative politics because that would be out of balance. And anything that takes you out of balance, you become the energy of that manifestation. By being able to maintain balance, then only that which is empowering, enlivening, and healing comes into you. So that's why I say, play as much as you work. Now, to the specific question you ask about sex. I appeared on the Dave Susskind show. Did you ever hear of Dave Susskind?
Yes.
And I was on there with a panel on abstinence. Now, here
I saw that show.
Oh, okay. Here I am with a panel of attractive women, psychologists. And David asked me, Gary, you're famous, you're very successful, young guy, handsome, athletic. You could have a lot of different women. Why are you celibate? My answer was simple. Each person has to choose the reasons for the choices they make. I said, David, my choice doesn't come from fear, anger, religion, some form of guilt or shame. Because all of those reasons not to have sex would be the wrong reason. At that point, I was going through probably the most creative point in my life. I was writing an enormous amount, as much as 50 pages a day. I was also racing. I would do over 70 races in a year. That meant that frequently on a Wednesday we would race, then on a Saturday morning we'd race, and on a Sunday we'd race. And I was running. And not only were we racing, but we were winning. If you go up on GaryNall.com and look under pictures, especially athletic pictures, you'll see a picture of two fellas, myself and Sam Skinner, shaking hands. That was at the finish line in the Jamaica Marathon down in Jamaica, in Montego Bay. I had this white film on my skin. That was salts, because there was no water for 17 miles. The temperature was 100 degrees. The course was brutal. I've never raced in a more difficult, challenging race in my life. There was flooding in the streets at 3 feet of water. They didn't stop traffic. They had a course that no one understood, where we went straight up at the 13-mile mark to the highest point in Jamaica. Or not in Jamaica, they have Cebu Mountains, but in Montego Bay and down. And they didn't even have water for us. But in spite of that, he won gold and I won gold. So the two of us that went down from our natural living team, we both won golds. There's nothing that can describe what it is to be a long-distance athlete, where I was training 120 miles a week. That's a marathon a day. That's just the road work. That did not include the stair climbing, versa climbing. I was very thin. At my thinnest, I was 159 pounds. At 6'2", to be 159 pounds, really skinny. Today, I'm 188 and still have only 1.9% body fat. I just got it tested this week. But I was very fast. Your energy goes in one place. Now, when I put my energy into my healing work, my lectures, I was frequently lecturing twice a day. I would lecture in the evening to our health support group, and I had 3 health support groups a night, 5 to 7, 7 to 9, 9 to 11, 6 days a week. Had almost 20,000 people that I'd helped through health support groups. Imagine a schedule where you're sleeping 2 hours a night. You're training, racing, healing, creating, plus doing a broadcast, and doing scientific research in the evenings. So my thought was this. I prefer quality relationships. Someone I can share creativity with. Which means that not all women are going to have that capacity, depending upon their life energy, their proclivities, whether at the high or low end of their own life, is what you can share with them. So there are certain life energies I am simply not compatible with That does not mean that I can't associate or enjoy their company. It means for a relationship, an intimate relationship. One that is entirely possible is the creative assertive. I have found them to be the most exciting, open, dynamic, and creative, as well as dynamic assertives or dynamic supportives. One day I woke up and I went out to run a short little race. It was a week after I'd won the Empire State Games. And by the way, I'd won 83 championships in a row, and I'd set 17 American records and was Master Athlete of the Year that year, New York Metropolitan Athletic Congress. And also was nominated by USA Track and Field Athlete of the Year in age group, etc. And lo and behold, instead of going out at a four-minute pace, I couldn't even hold an eight-minute pace. And I thought, what the heck just happened? And what I found when I finished the race is I went in the next day, and I get a whole blood work up. Nothing was wrong. Adrenals, blood sugar, no viral, no bacteria. Nothing had changed biochemically, but there was clearly something wrong. And then that night I had a lecture. The words were fine. The energy was not. I wasn't connecting. And then when I went to write, I found myself struggling to come up with the kind of unique turn on a word that is normally easy for me. And in fact, I just found today, I didn't even know it, I was reading a medical magazine, and lo and behold, there was a, let me see if I have it here, there was a review of one of my books. I just, let's see if I can find it here. And boy, that surprised me. It was a very nice review. Let's just see where it's at. Oh, I think I left it upstairs on my desk. I don't have it here. I'll read it tomorrow. And it was about one of my books, and it talked about the poetry of, you know, the insight, something unique that you haven't read in other books. But that's what I did almost daily. It's one of the reasons I have had, you know, over 50 best-selling books. But now it was gone. Each day I struggled. Each day I thought, okay, it's going to come back. It didn't. The next race, the next week, it wasn't there. And finally, I realized what was missing. I had depleted my basic life chi, my basic life energy. So that was a major lesson for me. So I withdrew. I went to my ranch in Texas. I spent 2 months there. My older brother Howard was there. And I didn't counsel anyone. I did my radio shows, but I didn't write. I didn't train. All I did was simply commune with nature, play with the animals, and nature play. Go out and garden. Things of that sort. Within about 2.5 to 3 months, my energy began to come back. Not my physical energy. My physical energy had been there. But that other energy, the chi. And then I realized that I had not learned a basic lesson, balance. And that without balance, you will imbalance yourself, no matter who you are or what you're doing. And I remember I had talked with the great marathoner Bill Rogers, and I had him on my radio show, and he had run four straight New York City marathons. But he was bragging about being able to eat Twinkies and jelly rolls and junk. And he says, look, I don't need this nutrition stuff. I'm, you know, nobody can touch me. He was right. Then again, no one could touch Frank Shorter or Costello until they could. They lost their chi, but didn't have the insight to know how to rebalance it to have another day. After that, coming back from the ranch, I decided to completely reorganize my life. I would only do what allowed me to balance each day. And therefore, no matter what the issue was, no more deadlines. No more packing as many people into a day as possible to help them. I would help how many were reasonable to help. I stopped all the lecturing and the racing, so I did 12 races instead of 70 or 80. And it all came back. The speed, I would go on to be athlete of the year twice more in New York and then in Florida. Almost did it this year. I was tied and then missed one race because of too much vitamin D a year ago. But otherwise, I was on track to get athlete of the year again in the race walker. In any case, all that taught me lessons that everything I do now I have to do in balance. If I can't do it in balance, I don't do it. It's that simple. You have no idea how many opportunities I've turned down. Enormous opportunities. Because I knew it would imbalance me. Now that gives you a perspective. It also tells me that I don't want to do anything with anyone who is not compatible with our life energies. That's on all levels. Because if I did a business deal or I did a friendship deal, that was a friendship and my life energy is incompatible, they're both not on the upside, then you're going to end up with hassles. So that gives you the overview that it's just not about waking up each day and going through a day and everything's the same and you just try to make the day work for you. But then on the issue of relationships, I find that one of the most treasured things you can have in life is a quality relationship. And I ask a simple question, how fair would it be for a woman to be in my life if I could not have a quality relationship with her? What if she then felt that she was competing with the other things that I have devoted my time and energy to? And indeed, I'd seen that happen. In fact, I had some wonderful people in my life that I would have enjoyed having a relationship with, and including sex. But then, when you're, where you at? I'm still counseling patients. But it's 11 o'clock at night. I know, but I've got 3 terminally ill people here. Yeah, but you do enough. You don't have to help all those people. But if I don't help them, they may die. Yeah, but they may die anyhow. That's true. There's no guarantee I can help them. But what if one of them was you or your mother or father? Then would it be okay? And then that starts, you know, this whole idea that somehow when you're in a relationship, people own your time, that there are no boundaries, that people feel they have the right to say anything, write anything, leave messages and do things that they would not have a right to do outside of that relationship. And I find that people use relationships as often as not to dump their unresolved issues, to continue to feel that now they have someone daily they can read the myth of their life story to. How many times have we heard a person say the same thing, no matter what you say, they're going to say it again. I don't want anything like that. I've been very fortunate to have 4 quality relationships in my life. One for 14 years, one for 4 years, one for 2 years, and one for 1 year. Most of them ended because I wouldn't get married and have children and quit the profession. That was their choice to ask. It was my choice to say no. I then learned another lesson, that all relationships have an expiration date. Some it's longer, others it's shorter. Some people are great at one passage of your life and not compatible when you're in another passage of your life. And the older you get, the shorter those passages are. When you're in crisis, you have different needs in relationships. And a lot of people now, the only thing they can do is share the angst and anxiety of their relationships because of what's going on in their life. I understand that. I don't like and wouldn't have sex out of anxiety or frustration or to blow off steam. So what I told Dave Susskind was that I didn't mind being celibate. At that point, I was celibate for 7 years. No sex. I don't masturbate. I don't see the point. Because I understand how to control chi. If you understand your chi and you understand how to use that energy, and I do, then it's not as if you've congested yourself. Therefore, it is non-destructive. if you do not know how to use qi and do not understand the basis of the kundalini, then it can be. And therefore, sexual relief with a partner yourself is fine. I also believe that Americans are extremely inhibited sexually, that most people will gossip about you, and therefore even having an open conversation about sex makes most people feel uncomfortable, because what they're hearing is they're hearing you talk about sex, and instead of hearing you in the moment and being mindful, their belief system, their subconscious tapes, you're really talking about sex with their mother, their priest, their rabbi. When you have sex, a curtain should open and there should be a bleacher with their aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, nephews and nieces, all sitting there with scorecards. And they raise a scorecard. Did you do this right, that right, foreplay, not foreplay, lights on, life off, groans, moans, no, yes. Oh God, you're religious in your orgasm. No, 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 you're an agnostic. More, less, people are confused. So I finally did a video called Sexual Healing. I've just finished another one called Sacred Sexuality. I do not believe you have to be in a relationship to have sex. I believe that many relationships are based upon sex, and that's the last thing you should do. Relationships should be based upon friendship, because be way beyond the sex, there better be a friendship. Or that's why so many people get bored in the relationship, frustrated, cheat on each person, and I don't believe in cheating. I don't believe if you're in a relationship, honor the relationship. If you can't honor it, don't get in it. It's that simple. So today, with my schedule, I just got off the road. Do you know what it's like being in a car driving for 10 to 12 hours a day and then filming for 6 to 8 hours a day? Where you have to be 100% focused upon what you're doing? Where's there time for that relationship? When I'm here today working, I choose this at this point because I believe we're going through a critical time where my energy is best served helping finally when the crowd awakes. Could you imagine that you'd work your whole life to have people go to the center of Cairo to protest 30 years of despotic rule, and you decide that's the week that you're going to take a vacation? And you miss it? Well, I'm not missing my life, and I'm not missing the events. And there are a lot of us out there, the progressives, who are needed to share directions so that people don't go off the rails, they don't become too radicalized, they don't start making the wrong type of statements, they don't follow the wrong information, which is very easy on the internet. So much information is wrong, whether it's on vaccines or helping Gulf War vets or helping the homeless, or challenging corruption, or stopping the food tyranny that's going on, or radiation, or genetic modification. Last night I was at a film festival down in Soho, the Soho Grand, to watch a new film on food, and was on the panel. It was a full house. If I hadn't have been there, there would have not been a lot of the insights that otherwise would have been there. That's not an ego. That's just the reality. The night before, I went as a moral support to Dr. Wakefield and the others who were talking about vaccines. And Wakefield has changed his position on vaccines. Well, he was not one who was hedging our vaccines good or not when he was down there the other night. But I sat at the back of the room, drawing no attention to myself, because it was their day. I was there to give moral support. I believe we have to do that, to give moral support to these causes. So all this said, if you have someone that you can have sex with that is compatible with you and is understanding and is not going to hassle you, that's fine. I just haven't found that person. I find the people who want the relationships. I have no problem with that. But if it's not time in my life to have that relationship, and if it means that sex is merely the bait for the relationship, I'm not taking the bait. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, if I understand what you're saying, if you're not having sex, then you have to understand your qi and substitute that way?
You have to be able to use your energy in a constructive, positive, spiritual way. As long as you're using your energy, and there's only one energy. There's not a sexual energy, an intellectual energy, a creative energy, an athletic energy. It's all one. It's how you use it. And if you use it in a way that balances your life, then you're completely fulfilled. But I can't be around people who want to have sex and are going to lay there like a Mormon preacher. That's not my, I want to find the sexual libertine. You know, I believe in complete sharing of energy. Someone who is not inhibited. I don't want to have to end up guiding someone and teaching someone about sex. You know, that's, you know, I already have to, you know, have such conversation with people just about the basic ethics of life and manners and so many things. My God, I thought there comes a point where you have people who have that together. And then you start looking at this whole recessive generation. You say, wow, boy, did they miss a lot growing up. Anyone can have sex. Two dogs sniffing each other can have sex. Sex is not the issue. The quality of the energy you share with another human being is. If I can't share a quality energy exchange as creatively, playfully, joyfully, and passionately as I choose, then I'd rather pass on it. I'm not into junk food. I'm not into junk conversation. And I sure as hell am not into junk sex. All the best to you. Now go masturbate.
Right. Right.
Have a good day.
You too.
Let's say hello to, we've got Dr. Martin Feldman on the line, and Marty?
Hi, Gary. Very interesting topic.
Well, look, Marty, this is an open forum, and that's why I set aside the one day a week to let anyone ask any question they can. I never dodge a question, but I also believe that you can't do short input on a question that has such profound implications for people because we are sexual beings. You know, have you ever seen me cheat with my diet?
No, not a bit. Never, ever, ever.
No, I just got off the road. I never cheat. I could, but I would be cheating myself. I'm the witness to my own life. I don't give a damn who else likes me, dislikes me, cares what I say or don't. That's irrelevant. I don't read the blogs. I don't read that crap because you've got a bunch of completely dysfunctional people out there who don't have a life and want to criticize someone who's actually making a difference in the world. Do you ever notice the people who are the most critical are the people who do nothing but piss-ass complain?
Absolutely correct.
The people who are doing something with their life are always in alignment at a higher level and appreciate it. When you can go over to someone and say, hey, friend, you did a good job. Thank you for being there. That's what I like to do to other people, to go over and remind them that I'm happy they're alive. There's a whole disconnect between those in the world who are the givers, the doers of a higher level, and those who sit back and watch all this as if they're a little pervert sitting behind their computer screen and watching hardcore porn and are angry that they're so sexually dysfunctional that they can't have a meaningful relationship, even a sexually meaningful relationship. So therefore, they're going to first get out their frustration, hence angry sex, bad sex, and then through their own guilt and shame, blame anyone who's actually happy. So in my world, if you can't have happy sex, don't have it. What's the point? And therefore, if you can't have a good conversation, don't have a bad conversation. If you can't say something nice to someone, don't say something negative. If you can't show that you're caring about people, don't be angry if people don't have what you have because you're not willing to understand what it is to be in their shoes. We have a lot of people. I mean, look at Sean Hannity. There's a guy who's probably got the angriest sex in the world. He probably sounds like one of these guys breaking up a concrete when he's having sex. None of it's fun, but boy, he's critical of the world. Well, Sean, stop being critical. You and Rush Limbaugh and a lot of the others, actually go out there and do something good for the world. Why don't you get yourself arrested, Sean? Why don't you get Mr. Rush Limbaugh and all of his audience to go out there and actually chain themselves to the White House or some building and protest something they're against. Ah, then risk getting arrested. Ah, that shows you at least you have some courage. It's only a coward who sits behind a microphone and won't live up to the risk that they take when they commit themselves to a higher ideal. And none of these people commit themselves to any higher ideals. And therefore, they couldn't be having good sex, happy sex, creative sex, because they don't exhibit that in other parts of their life. By the way, you can pretty much tell how a person is going to have sex based upon how they live the rest of their life. A whiner, moaner, blamer, complainer, don't even think about having sex with that person. Forget the cooties, forget the syphilis, forget the herpes, forget the gonorrhea. That's minor compared to the energy you're going to get in that exchange. It's all over to you now, Marty, and magnesium.
Magnesium, we'll start on it. We may do only half tonight, half next time. First off, we have to understand some of the physiology. Magnesium and calcium are very important together. They work together. Actually, calcium helps to contract muscles. And magnesium helps to relax muscles. So it's a duality of these two guys. They've got to be in balance. And it's very important mineral in that. First off, let's talk about heart attacks. Heart attacks, roughly 40% of the time, we can blame a heart attack on a high cholesterol problem. But that means 60% of the time, the heart attack has nothing to do with cholesterol at all. Now that 60% of the high percent have actually what goes on is a spasm from a lack of magnesium. They have a spasm of the coronary artery and it constricts the artery, closes off the blood supply, have a heart attack, you die. However, there are some studies showing that persons who get into an emergency room at the very beginning of a heart attack, and in the emergency room, if they're smart enough to give them intravenous magnesium right there in the IV, they can ward off the heart attack high percent. Very, very important. Angina. Angina is a pain in the chest, again, related to heart, and it has to do with the heart muscle and the coronary arteries going to spasm and not enough blood supply, and you get a pain. You get an angina pain. It's sort of a warning. Got to take magnesium. Palpitations of the heart. Also, possibility. The heart is irritated from the imbalance of calcium, not enough magnesium. They have palpitations of the heart. Again, it's a muscle imbalance. Leg cramps. We have many people in the evening and lying in bed get cramps in their legs, very, very painful cramps or cramps on walking. Most of the time it's a magnesium-calcium imbalance, so you need more magnesium. Headaches. There have been studies out there, especially one very important one from the SUNY, SUNY Medical School in Brooklyn, and Dr. Mauskopf, a neurologist, studied people with migraine headaches and a special test of magnesium, ionic magnesium test, which is a very research-oriented test, a very high-level magnesium level test. And most of the persons with migraine headaches had magnesium deficiency. Very, very important information. Asthma. Asthma patients tend to have a wheezing, constriction of bronchioles. There are many factors, inflammation, allergy, many, many factors, but magnesium is certainly part of that to loosen up that bronchitis, to give the spasm a relief. Magnesium can help a great, great deal. Fibromyalgia is even a more extreme pain relating to the lack of magnesium. Also, that likes to have B6 and malic acid. Fibromyalgia is a very severe imbalance of muscle and other tissues in the body, inflammation and spasm, and again, magnesium. Preeclampsia, part of pregnancy, very, very difficult preeclampsia part of pregnancy. Magnesium, all the literature shows, helps that preeclampsia, can correct it totally. Kidney stones. Now, although many kidney stones are actually calcium in the stone itself, but I've seen many, many, many patients over the years whereby there's an imbalance of their calcium magnesium, whereby the calcium is not the magnesium kind of, for want of a better word, keeps the calcium in solution. Not enough magnesium, this calcium goes out of solution into the kidney stone, and it's very, very severe, very, very bothersome, very painful business. Heel spurs. Heel spurs are actually calcium deposits in the heel, again, partially related to calcium and magnesium imbalance.
Okay, in the minute we have left, Marty, go to the amount of magnesium and the type of magnesium.
The best type for most people is citrate, because citrate is very, very absorbable through the gut, and it's very, very agreeable to the system. You can easily go up to 800 milligrams a day, depending on many of these factors. If you have any of those symptoms that I mentioned, you have to go way up in dose, and you have to balance out your calcium magnesium. Most people take too little magnesium for their calcium level. You've got to get them off and have to be equal amounts, calcium and magnesium equal.
Good information. Dr. Martin Feldman can be reached at 212-744-4413. Thanks a lot, Marty.
Okay, see you next week.
Yep. And also, I would suggest magnesium for muscle cramps, especially when women is in PMSing, at 1,000 milligrams along with 5 milligrams of boron and vitamin D3 at 5,000 units. Also, vitamin K at 10 milligrams, K2, and phosphorus at 100 milligrams, silica at 10 milligrams. Let's go over and say hello now to Michael Rupert. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Gary. How you doing?
Good. What's on your show tonight?
We have, every guest is always special, aren't they? But tonight, I've been looking forward to this show all week. It's James Howard Kunstler, a great writer who's very well known and beloved. We just did a TV special on the History Channel together, and Jim and I are going to just let it rip tonight.
Great. Well, we look forward to it. In just 60 seconds, Michael Rupert's show. Please stay with us, and thank you all for listening. I'm Gary Nall.